Welcome to the Pups That Play podcast. My name is Karen, and I'm a pro dog trainer and fur mom, and I will be your host throughout this journey. Together, I'm going to be sharing with you training tips, tools, and strategies to help you create a well-mannered, calm, and confident family pet. The best part is, we do it all through play. Around here, our dogs are part of our family, and we want them to live their best lives possible and have it be enjoyable for everyone involved. I am so excited to share today's episode with you, so let's get started. Hello and welcome back to Pups That Play. So my name is Karen, and today's episode is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more of me sharing a story with you guys and sharing some of my past experience. And the reason I want to do this is I want to shed a little bit of light on me, kind of get my background and kind of where I'm coming from with all of this and why I got into dog training, and also kind of share some hope. Hope if you have a dog that, you know, you got as a puppy, or maybe you adopted a rescue, an older dog, and things are just not going the way that you planned. It's not as easy as you thought it was going to be. You know, maybe certain training methods that you have tried or have been trying or have been recommended to you are just not working, and you're feeling kind of lost. You're feeling kind of hopeless. Just sharing with you that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It is all going to be okay. And there are things definitely that you can do out there that are going to help you. So in today's episode, I'm going to share with you all about my dog, Zeppelin, my little Sheltie, and his story, and how he came into my life and just completely transformed my life and everything in it. And he was really the real reason I got into this and the real reason I started Prairie Pups and got into dog training. So a little while ago, back in 2010, so I'll let you do the math there, I had moved out from, you know, my parents for the first time, gone out on my own, got my own place. And, you know, I had dogs growing up, and at the time when I moved out on my own, we had a family dog, a border collie mix named Roscoe, and I loved him, but he was, of course, the family dog. So I wasn't allowed to take him with me. He was my mom's dog more than anything. And so I moved out, I got an apartment, and I realized very, very quickly that I needed a dog in my life. I didn't want to not have a dog. I really, really missed having a dog. And I was, you know, I was actually working as a vet tech at the time. So I was in the animal industry, and I loved animals and dogs, and I worked with them on a daily basis, and I knew that I wanted one of my own. I needed to go out and get my own dog, and I really, really wanted a Sheltie. And I was living in an apartment at the time, like a tall apartment building. I was on the 15th floor, and so I knew, like, I didn't want to do puppy because, you know, puppy training and house training on the 15th floor of an apartment building would suck. I wanted to adopt an older dog. And I knew Sheltie. I'm like, oh, they're small dogs. They'd be perfect for an apartment. And you may be laughing at me, but yeah, that was my view at the time. I knew I couldn't get anything too big because I needed something small. And I had fallen in love with Shelties because I had, a few years ago, volunteered at an agility trial for some high school hours. And of course, there were tons of Shelties there. And I just thought that they were beautiful and adorable and the perfect size, and I loved them. So my hunt began, and I was working with a local rescue. I was trying to find one through there, and they were a little bit harder to come by, if you want, like a purebred Sheltie, trying to adopt an older purebred Sheltie, right? And of course, I was looking all over the place, and I was on Kijiji, and I found an ad for somebody with a 2-year-old male Sheltie that was looking for a new home. Just, you know, wanted to find a new home for this dog. And I saw him, and I was like, oh my gosh, he is adorable. He's tiny. He'd be perfect. So I was living with my then boyfriend at the time, my husband now, but we were, you know, just dating, and the two of us had this apartment, and I'm like, we have to go look at this dog. And of course, it was like 2.5 hours away. And I'm like, nope, we have to go see him. So I convinced him to come with me to go find this dog. or to go see this dog. And he drove me down there, and we walk onto this guy's property. He had like a small piece of property, and he had his house, and there was a barn just a little ways out back. So we get there, and the guy meets us, and he takes us into the barn. And now in this barn, there are these little concrete runs, okay? Little dog runs with concrete floor with a little flap that goes out to a little outdoor run. And in one of them is this tiny Sheltie. Like, Shelties are pretty small. He was very small. And the guy goes in and he picks this dog up and he puts him on this wooden box, and the dog just laid there, like completely flat to the box, like just terrified, terrified of what was going on. You know, he would let me pet him, but he wouldn't move. He didn't even stand up. He just laid there flat. Like, it was like a defense mechanism. Like, maybe if I just flatten myself to the ground and don't move, everybody will just leave me alone. And I'm looking at this situation, and I'm talking to the guy, and I'm asking him questions, because of course I was a vet tech, so I'm like, I'm gonna get all the good information. And I was like, oh, well, what kind of food is he on? And he's like, dog food. I said, oh, I'm like, how is he like in the house? Oh, he's never been in the house. I'm like, okay, is he good with, you know, kids or other people? Or he's like, oh, well, my daughter will come out here sometimes and visit the dogs out in the barn. But yeah, he pretty much just spends his time out here. So basically, kind of got the backyard breeder vibe. The information that I got from this gentleman was that this dog, he got him as a puppy, a 13-week-old puppy, brought him home, put him out there in the barn with his other Shelties, and the idea was that he was going to be a breeding dog. Well, the puppy grew and grew and then didn't grow very much, and he was too small for the breed standard. He was a very small Sheltie. He was only like 12 or 13 pounds, and he was 2 years old, full grown, very tiny. The guy thought he was too small, so he was basically just trying to sell him on Kijiji to recoup some of his loss, because he didn't want to breed him. He was too small, he didn't want him, and he wanted to get rid of him. So my boyfriend looked at this dog and the situation, and he looked at me, and we both knew that there was no way we were not leaving that dog there. We were coming home with this dog. So we paid Mr. Gentleman for this puppy, or this dog, he wasn't a puppy, and picked him up and started to drive home with him. And I realized very quickly that this was not the ideal situation that I had in mind when I thought of adopting my dream Sheltie dog. He was cute, he was a Sheltie, yes, but he had zero training. He was not house trained. He was terrified of absolutely everything. He was more comfortable with other dogs than he was with people, which made a lot of sense given his history of being in a barn with dogs and very little human interaction. He had never been on a leash before, so I remember the first few times I took him out for a walk, anytime the leash would enter his field of vision, he would freeze because he didn't know what the heck it was, and it freaked him out. And I had a now had an adult dog that was not house trained, which I don't know if you remember me mentioning, but I didn't want to do house training with a puppy because I lived on the 15th floor of an apartment building, and I knew that was going to be a huge pain. And now here I was with this adult dog that had absolutely zero house training. We also very quickly realized that he had severe separation anxiety. I very quickly fell in love with this little dog, and I wanted to do whatever it was to give him the best life, and I wanted to do the best thing. So one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to crate train him, because we had crate trained my border collie at home, and I knew how important that was to give them a safe space when you're not home. So I got a crate, I stuck him in it, and both my boyfriend and I went to work. And I remember getting a phone call from the building manager saying that people were complaining that there was noise. He was barking and just howling, and he would not stop. So I had to leave work in the middle of the day and go home because he was freaking out in his crate. And I got home and I went in there, and he had had an accident, and he had poo smeared everywhere. It was in his crate, and then he was panicking, so he was flailing in it, so it was all over him. It was squished between all the bars. It was up the wall. It was a nightmare. And he wanted out. He wasn't crate trained, and me thinking, oh, well, I can just put him in a crate. That'll be fine. No, it doesn't work well, especially with a non-trained separation anxiety dog. He had ripped all of the skin off of his nose, just ripped it raw and bleeding, trying to push his, like, nose his way out of this crate. So I very quickly realized I couldn't leave this dog alone. I couldn't leave him alone, and we lived in an apartment. So what was I going to do? So I was very thankful and very lucky that my mom, who lived not too far from where I was working, agreed to do doggy daycare for me. And I basically, for the longest time, would leave for work with Zeppelin, bring him to my mom's place, drop him off. He'd stay with her. And he felt very comfortable there because he attached himself to the family border collie very quickly, because remember, he had more experience with dogs than he did with people. And I'd go to work, pick him up on my way home, bring him home. And that's what we had to do. That was not what I wanted to do, but it's what we had to do. And then I had to do house training from the very beginning in an apartment. And it was hard, but we had to. I would wake up, I would pick him up. I remember carrying him, luckily he was small, down the hall to the elevator, down the elevator, out the front door, and let him go to the bathroom and reward him out there. So it was harder than it should have been. But I was bound and determined that this is what was going to work. So I knew he needed training. And in my mind, my experience with training was, okay, you get a dog, you do the 6 weeks basic obedience course, and that's all you need to do. So that's what I signed up for. I signed us up for a local 6 week in-person training obedience class. And the first 3 days, he hid under the chair. We had chairs that we along the edge of the classroom, and we sat there while the teacher was showing us what we were going to do that day. And then we were supposed to get up and work with our dog on the different behaviors that she was teaching us. And he would just hide under the chair. He refused to come out. He wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't take food. Nothing. So what are you supposed to do? I'm like, this is how training is. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take your dog and you're supposed to take them to an obedience class and teach them basic manners, and then you're good to go, right? Well, what was I supposed to do if I had this tiny little dog that wouldn't even come out from under a chair, wouldn't take food from me? I was lost. And my trainer, you know, she ended up being really, really good. And she said to me, she's like, you know what? This dog needs confidence. He needs to build confidence. So she actually recommended me put him in agility training, which we did, and long story short, it was the best thing for him ever, and it started my addiction to dog agility in the world of dog sports, which opened me up to a lot of things. So I'm so thankful for him and for that, as I never would have got into it otherwise. But it took a long time, and it took not normal methods. So I ended up doing research. I'm like, there's got to be something out there. Like, there's got to be a way to train this dog, to work with him, to show him that the world's not a scary place, to teach him to do the things I want him to do, to be comfortable in his crate, to be able to leave him alone. And one of the people I came across was actually Susan Garrett, who's really, really big in the dog agility world. But she's also a very, very big person when it comes to positive reinforcement type training. And I found out about her, and I ended up taking her online recallers course. And one of the things, like, you know, that it was positive reinforcement. And when you think of positive reinforcement, especially back then, it was clicker training, right? You have a clicker, you get your dog to do something, you click your reward, you click your reward. So I'm like, oh yes, this is perfect. I'm going to be a positive reinforcement trainer with my dog, and I'm going to get a clicker. So I went out to the pet store, I got myself a clicker. I'm like, okay, Zeppelin, we're going to teach you something new. And I'm like, okay, the first thing you got to do is get them to know that when you click, it means reward. So you're just literally, all you're supposed to do is click, give them a treat, click it, give them a treat. I clicked it. He bolted. He hid under my desk. He would not come out. He would not take food. I very quickly realized that, okay, a clicker is not going to work here. This is not going to happen. So I had to get creative. and I had to learn to think outside the box. Now, he had, in that time, had become very attached to me and to my boyfriend, and he loved us. He loved being with us. He didn't want to leave us, obviously separation anxiety, but he also had a lot of value for us. So I was able to use a lot more verbal rewards and a lot more physical praise, especially on those times where he shut down and he wouldn't take food. So if you're one of those people out there that have a dog that's not very food motivated, this was him. And the other big thing when I was working through Susan Garrett's stuff is she was a big advocate of play. Reward your dog through play, specifically tug. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna teach my dog to tug. I got the coolest tug toy, and I'm like, okay, Zeppelin, let's do this. And I showed him the toy, and I'm playing with it, and I'm like, he wouldn't even put his mouth on it. He wanted nothing to do with that thing. Or if he did put his mouth on it, the minute you put any kind of pressure on it to try to pull it back to actually like tug, he would drop it. That was it. It wasn't happening. So I really had to get creative. I ended up finding a little skunk. It was this little skunk toy. It was one of those no stuffing toys. So it was like flat and floppy. That was the only toy in his entire life that I ever found that he loved. He would carry that thing around with him. He would like put it in his mouth and just kind of lightly gnaw on it, almost like he was like using it like a soother. So it really taught me, and I highly recommend this with you if you have a dog that you're trying to work with, that you're trying to train, and traditional recommendations aren't really working, just get creative. Think outside the box. And I did that with him, and I had to find a toy that worked for him. I had to find a system that worked for him. Yes, positive reinforcement training worked for him, but not a clicker. And the type of reinforcement we started with was more so verbal and like physical, like petting him and be good boy, oh you're so good job, because he thrived off of that kind of behavior and that kind of reinforcement. And yes, he definitely down the road became a dog who would work for food, definitely not in super stressful situations, but he did become a very good food motivated dog. But we had to work towards that. We had to build up value for that, and I used what worked in the moment. I found what was most valuable for him, and I worked with that. So if this is, you know, if you're hitting home for you at all, think outside the box. Find what works for you and your dog, and take it one step at a time. So over the years, I was able to work with him. We played games. So the crate was a big thing. I wanted him to be crate trained. I wanted to be able to leave him on his own safely. And we did that through crate games, playing games, turning the crate into a safe, positive space, and teaching him that through play and through positive games. That was huge. We played a lot of games. I taught him nose touches, became very, very important to him. And it actually became our best recall, because he loved to just come and jab his nose against my hand. So we used nose touches to train a recall. So we worked very much outside the box, and we had to be very positive with him. He would not respond well to any kind of negative or anything too harshly. And that's where my real love of positive-based and games-based reinforcement training came from. And I did so much research. I took so many courses, and I tried so many different things, because I wanted this poor little dog who had a rough start to his life, you know, 2 years in a concrete pen with little to no human interaction, zero confidence, zero experience with the world. I wanted him to have a better life, and I wanted him to have that better life with me. And that's what we ended up doing. That little dog, you know, it took years and consistent effort, and we had our moments. But he became the best dog I ever had in my life. He never needed to be on a leash, because he ended up having so much value for being with me that he would stay. He was always in proximity. We would go to the dog park later on when we had three dogs, and I would take them and I'd let them off leash, and they would all run around like crazy, except for Zeppelin. He would always be in my bubble. He would run off and play, and then he would come right back. I didn't even have to call him, just because that's where he wanted to be. He competed in agility. We went to different trials. He got 2 titles in the AAC, the Agility Association of Canada. And that was huge for building his confidence and my confidence as a dog owner, my confidence as a dog trainer. I learned so much through that, and I'm so thankful that we had that experience. It grew my love for the dog sport of agility, and I so want to get back into it with my other dog. Just we moved to a place where there isn't a lot of agility, so hopefully we're going to create our own course. If you can't find it, create it, right? And this dog ended up he traveled well. It was good because he was small, right? So you could take him everywhere, but he came to all our family outings, he came to birthday parties and events at my in-laws' place. He traveled to Newfoundland. We did a road trip in an RV with the family out to Newfoundland and back from Ontario. And he went on the ferry both ways. He did amazing. And we traveled all the way to Newfoundland. We ended up moving to Saskatchewan and he lived out here. And then we traveled all the way out to BC. So that little dog, I had him for 12 years. He passed away this past summer when he was 14. And because I, you know, put the time into him to build those manners, to build his confidence, to build his, you know, value for me and his ability to see the world as a positive thing, whereas before it was totally scary and totally negative. But we worked on that over the years. I was able to take this dog everywhere. He went to every province in Canada. He went to some states. We took him to the states a couple times. He went to trials. I took him to fairs. He helped me raise awareness for certain rescues, being like an ambassador dog. He would have been a perfect therapy dog if I ever thought to get him into that, but I wasn't into that at the time. He was just literally the best behaved dog in the world, and I miss him so, so much, but it did not start out that way. And it was not that way. He wasn't a puppy. I was starting with an adult dog with zero manners, zero foundation, severe separation anxiety, severe, just fear of the world. And through learning more about positive reinforcement, specifically game-based training, and just thinking outside the box, whenever something didn't work, I didn't change the goal. I didn't say, oh, well, we're never going to be able to do this. I said, okay, this isn't working. What is another way we can get there? What is another way we can teach this behavior? What is another thing we can use to help reinforce something? Because this isn't working. So I just want to leave you guys with that today. I want to let you know that no matter where you are with your dog, no matter how much hope you think there isn't, no matter how lost you feel, no matter how hopeless it feels, there's always a way. And it might take time. And it might take a lot of effort, and it might not look the way, the journey might not look the way you thought it was going to be, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because I truly believe that these dogs enter our lives, and they're all here to teach us something. And that little Sheltie, he taught me so much, and he was the reason that I learned all these skills, and now I'm able to take them and help other people, and help other people with their dogs, and help give them hope to work through, to create the confidence. That is my main goal. I want to help everybody out there create calm and confident dogs that can take on the world, that you guys can do whatever it is that your vision of having a dog is going to be, whatever that might be, that you guys can get there. And even though you might have to take a detour, even though you might have to try new things, maybe the road that you thought you were walking just isn't working, it doesn't mean that the destination isn't possible. It just means that you need to try something different. Think outside the box. Work with the dog that you have in front of you. Start with where they are at and where you're at, and just small little things that you can do every day to get you towards your goal, to get your dog towards the confidence and the calmness and the manners and the behavior that you want to have with them, it is possible. And then you guys can just live your best lives together as an amazing team of dog and owner. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope it gave you a little bit more insight into who I am and where I came from. And my little dog, Zeppelin, I want to dedicate this episode to him. He was literally my heart dog. And even though he's been gone for quite a few months now, I still think of him almost every day. And he really is the heart and soul of what I do. I want to do everything I can to help people and their dogs out there have that relationship like I was able to have with Zeppelin, and have that life, and to be able to do the things that you want to do with your dog in a really happy and positive way. So thank you so much for listening to this. If any of it resonated with you, let me know, or if you have any questions, or if you have a dog that kind of sounds like Zeppelin, or you're working with your dog, maybe going through some different struggles, but you just feel lost, and sometimes you feel like there isn't hope at the end of the tunnel, reach out to me. You can send me a message on Instagram at @prairie_pups. You can find me on Facebook at @prairiepups. Or as always, you can send me an email at any time, info@prairiepups.com. Thank you so much for joining me in today's episode, and I cannot wait to see you in the next one.